welcome to Murph's Tavern. I am massive Simpsons dork Murphy McLaughlin. Every episode of this podcast, we'll talk about a different episode of The Simpsons, specifically one from the first 9 seasons with a couple of fellow fans. This week, we're talking about season 6's Homer versus Patty and Selma. This is the one where Homer borrows money from his sisters-in-law and doesn't want Marge to find out. There's also a subplot where Bart learns ballet and he loves it. With me, regular guest Jeremy Webby Webb.
How we doing?
Pretty good. And first time on the show, Claire Hagen.
Hello, Murphy.
Hello. Now, Webby, massive Simpsons nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners will know that. Murphy, me, massive Simpsons nerd. Listeners will know that. Claire?
Indifferent.
Indifferent. Wow. Okay.
Simpsons indifferent.
I was going to say, not that big a fan as us, but indifferent.
I mean, it's fine. I liked it when I was young, and now I am fully indifferent.
Yeah, well, we just...
You described The Simpsons as on after the news.
Exactly. 6 p.m., Channel 10.
Yeah, that's when it was going.
That was my childhood.
When you were a kid, you were really into it, or you just, like, enjoyed it?
It was probably the best thing on the free-to-air channels at the 6 p.m. time slot, I would say.
Hey, I watched a lot of The Nanny for that reason.
Yeah.
It's like, The Nanny's pretty good, but...
Do you know what else was on at 6 p.m.? It wasn't competing with much. The news on other channels.
Yeah. It was off-kilter for that exact reason.
Exactly. So, yes, I watched The Simpsons reasonably frequently as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was there.
Yeah.
And do you know what wasn't there? Any streaming services.
We just watched the episode together, Homer versus Patty and Selma. When was the last time you watched The Simpsons before today?
I couldn't tell you. It's not that long. Like, I've probably seen...
When were you last time in a hotel and you've... laptop had died.
No, it wouldn't even do it then.
No, just
to be honest,
still on the phone.
Last hotel I was in didn't have a TV.
I flicked through all of the channels of the last hotel I was at 4 times before I went, fuck it, David Attenborough it is.
Right.
Just watching some hyenas run around.
Yeah, I feel like I actually don't have channels on my TV. I've never tuned it in my life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I gave it a go once and it was like, it's like, oh, you got to play. No, why not? There was like a single hurdle. I just gave up immediately.
Yeah, yeah, you know what? It's connected to my Wi-Fi and streaming services. I'm fine.
This thing doesn't even have Wi-Fi, but I'm like, I'll plug in a computer that does.
That's perfect. But like, I'm not going to commit to some sort of weekly schedule with a TV show. What? I don't even know how I did that when I was younger. Like, how did I ever catch anything on the TV? See, I somehow did, but it's probably because grew up rural and had nowhere else to go in the evening.
Nah, I was the middle of 4 children. It's like I could be overruled at any stage for somebody else wanting to watch something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how many channels were there? Like 5?
Yeah.
Not even, really. It was like Channel 2, Channel 7, Channel 9, Channel 10, and SBS. Okay, you were bang on the money, 5. But I mean...
I didn't have Channel 2. What's Channel 2?
ABC.
Oh, okay.
ABC. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you could just call it that, ABC. But all right. Every other one you said by name, but...
What?
And
what
I grew up in a different state.
Well, they just happen to be called after their numbers.
I don't know if it was Channel 2.
I think that's kind of like a Safeway versus Woolworths thing, maybe. I grew up just calling it Channel
2. Yeah, one of those things.
Maybe not the best analogy.
Where's Bilo in that list, brother?
Extra value for you. And me. Remember that?
No.
Huey?
But I remember Bilo.
Yeah, well, you got to remember the ads then. Ian, Huey,
no.
Huey.
No, everyone just remembers Bilo because they're now just a different supermarket. It's one of those things you walk up and go, that was a Bilo.
They? Yeah.
Bilo didn't become
It's all Coles
anything.
Now.
Didn't become anything.
Yeah.
Well, they did. They got taken over by Coles.
Yeah, other people bought their leftover real estate.
Yeah. Anyway, hello to our international listeners. We love in this chat. So we did watch Homer vs. Patty and Selma, which is not a classic. You wouldn't call this episode a classic. I don't think anyone's got this episode in their top tens.
There are lines in it that I've mentioned these before that are just in my family's vocabulary.
Yeah.
Like, they're just in the rotation. We'll get to them.
All right. Okay. Well,
don't want to spoil too much.
I do.
It's not so much vocabulary stuff, but definitely some classic moments from this episode, I would say. I think one of the biggest is Rat Boy. Homer imagining the family.
I hate people reading my notes, but if you look there, Rat Boy is in massive letters compared to everything else.
Yeah.
Like, that is constantly said to me, like, yeah, between me and my brother.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
we'll just be listing anything, and then it just pops in, and of course, dear rat boy.
I forgot, because it's been ages since I've seen this episode.
Yeah.
And so there's little bits that I forgot were actually from this, including rat boy, and I forgot that Bart is actually gnawing the walls.
Yeah. Like, oh, no. I remember that scene 100%, but it's like complete standalone memory.
Yeah.
Couldn't have told you what it was in. Like, I completely forgot even that the B plot was the ballet thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's
so the B plot's Bart wants to be Billy Elliot is what I got from that.
No, he didn't want to be. He's reluctantly Billy Elliot.
Yeah, they trick him into being Billy Elliot.
He's too good.
Billy Elliot did want it a bit too bad. To be honest,
that's Claire as a theatre reviewer. Yeah, it
bit of a tryhard.
My mum tricked me into watching Billy Elliot at the theatre, and I don't think I've gotten over it. Because I sat there, she didn't tell me what it was about. She just dragged me to the cinema, and I was watching this movie, being like, "When does something happen besides this boy wanting to do ballet?"
You were like,
"It didn't."
You're in the crowd going,
"That was it."
When does it get to the bit with the big penguin and when he has to do high school again? And you're like, "Oh wait, I'm thinking of Billy Madison." Oh,
I've not seen that.
Really?
Probably not.
Oh, one of the greatest films. Anyway, we'll save that for the Adam Sandler podcast.
Are you fucking like Neo in the Matrix? Like, no one was able to dodge all Sandler films.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm sure I've seen some Adam Sandler films, but I don't remember those.
I've watched Jack and Jill.
Yeah, every weekend it was Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison, doubleheader.
No.
But you know what? Maybe you're secretly English, Claire, because I once worked with a bunch of English lads, and me and the one other Australian that worked there were like quoting Billy Madison one day, and they were like,
what? Like champions. Like the coolest dudes in the room. Like guys that can just think of their own jokes.
See, this is what I find with Simpsons fans is there's a lot of quoting of the Simpsons.
Yeah, I was about to say,
oh yeah,
says the guy who's got rat boy capitalized.
It's usually
that's
a guy
with my family
it.
In private. It's like, you know.
Oh no, groups of friends that I've had growing up. Lots of Simpsons quoting.
Yeah.
Well, I had to stop doing that because I was the kid who started year 7 and had a Simpsons quote for literally everything, and that was beaten out of me.
No, I'm talking about when I was in my early and mid-20s. I knew then.
I was a nightmare. Like, but at least then I'm like, no, stop that. No one cares if you know the whole onion bit word for word. Now they do. Like,
what is the onion bit? Because I only remember you don't win friends with salad. That's all.
That's the only vegetable related.
That's pretty much the only quote I remember. That and the monorail. Because I make really good salads.
That was
now.
A big actually.
Especially because they conquer it. It's repeated.
Yeah, exactly.
It's right up there with dental plan. You know, dental plan's not that good, and if you're not weirdly repeating it with the.
Totally. My family. That was actually a family quote for us. Was we don't win friends with salad because whenever we'd have we were. Kind of like a meat and two veg type of family. Is that a phrase? Or did I just invent
three veg.
That? Three veg. Okay,
it's three veg.
Well, we weren't even three.
Yeah.
No, we actually...
I don't know. I have only heard two, so I guess that says something about me as well. And anyway. One of them was always potato in some form.
I thought it was meat and three veg, but I can't think of a third one. Like potato, peas. What's your third veg?
Carrot?
Yeah, carrots, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Corn.
We would basically just have peas and carrots.
Other things in a tin.
Yeah. And so, yeah, on the odd, when we'd have salad, we'd always sing, you don't, but we wouldn't do it properly. We'd always say, you don't make friends with salad. You don't make friends with salad. And
you eat it. You don't want to make friends with it. You want to make it inside your mouth.
Well, we fucked up. But yeah, anyway.
I felt weird about that.
Sorry, you want to eat the salad. You put it in your mouth. You make friends
with
it.
That's right. It's the return for the ASMR thing. You've got the volley back.
That was off air, by the way.
Was it?
Yeah,
oh,
I think so.
Sorry, we also had a conversation prior to starting the recording. It's never happened before.
Usually we get here.
Just for context, it was creepy sounding on my part. There you go.
Let's get back to the topic.
The Simpsons.
No, of English people don't know Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore. let's talk about this episode. So it's not a classic one.
Yeah, now that you've started it, I want to know.
Salad, though, no, because he buys pumpkins at the beginning as if it's crypto. I was like, pumpkin. These pumpkins, they're the crypto.
Yeah,
to bring it into modern terms. What year did this come out?
90s. Well, let's bring out the book. This is a good opportunity to bring out the book, which, Claire, you haven't seen.
I haven't seen the... Well, I think I've seen a photo of it.
In person,
actually,
though.
Did Rob give it to you?
Look, it's been a while since I've seen the book. It's clearly aged, seeing it's now in a protective bag. Yeah. But it's the worst fucking protective bag I've ever seen. It's more... It looks older than the fucking book.
Murphy, was that your birthday present?
This was a Christmas present back when I was 7 or 8.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Oh, you were asking like this year.
No, I feel like I watched him get a Simpsons-related gift.
No, Rob and Lucy Caruana got me the premium version of this, which
okay,
is like
so
20
I'm
seasons.
Totally
leather bound.
Yeah. Cool. But no, this is the one OG. I've had since I was a kid. So let's flip open to season 6. Claire, we do a game on this podcast where you guess which character this book has highlighted as the
protagonist.
As the character.
It's Homer.
Okay. I have one lead-up question that I was going to ask you anyway.
Yes.
How many episodes have Patty and Selma really been in before this?
You know what? It's actually been a few. And you know what's interesting? Even though you always think Patty and Selma as a duo, the episodes that feature them, usually it's just one of them. So, that, for example, the one where Patty goes out with Principal Skinner. That's quite an old one. Mm-hmm. That's before they established she was gay.
The Sideshow Bob episode.
Yep. Sideshow Bob, where Selma marries Sideshow Bob.
Mm-hmm. Troy McClure.
Yes.
Like
I think that was
again,
after this.
Always, yeah.
More often than not, Selma, actually, because there's also like Selma tries to get pregnant, a Jub-Jub.
Yeah.
Not with Jub-Jub, but it's the episode with Jub-Jub. Yeah. It usually, there are actually quite a few Patty and Selma episodes, but they usually focus on
Patty
one
or
of them.
Selma
episodes.
But this one, they're basically the same person. They don't actually differ on any opinions in this at all. They're like shown doing the same job. Like they're standing next to each other at work. It's like, I don't think you would work like that. You're not both doing this job unless you're getting one wage. Like they argue at
I've
no point.
I've often thought about that if I had a twin. Like, can we share a job? One of us turn up every second day.
Yeah, they do that. It's called job share. It's a real thing. You just get paid the percentage you turn up.
What, with a twin?
That sounds less like a scam,
that can be,
and now I'm not interested.
Can be actually just another person, not just has.
I need to feel dodgy about it, though, otherwise I lose.
That's what
it's
not
fun. Maybe
doing
it in a small business.
Yeah.
With less, like, labour law scrutiny.
I'll rip somebody off directly.
But yeah, you're right. Patty and Selma, there's very little in this episode that differentiates the two.
Like actually nothing.
Yeah.
Apart
they're,
in the
they're completely like, yeah. yeah.
Visually there is, yeah.
But they're like completely aligned in what they want from this.
100%.
To humiliate Homer.
Selma's the one with the corns, Patty's the one with the bunions.
Oh yeah, you're right. There's that. That's it.
I'm very glad they never decided to go with like the Ren and Stimpy style close-ups in The Simpsons.
Yeah. It would have just had a as it goes right on her corns. Yeah.
I hated that show. But in answer to your question, if they've been in a fair few before, I'm going to say they've already turned up in the book.
Yes.
And so I'm going to guess the Russian dance teacher.
Okay.
She's a one-off.
Oh, I don't know what the highlight is if it's not
so it's very inconsistent, Claire. Sometimes it's a character that's in the episode for like 3 seconds, and sometimes it's someone that had a major role in the episode.
Cool.
I will give you a clue. It's not one of the major family
it's
members.
Not Homer.
So
okay.
No, it's not Homer. So Webby's
I'm
going
to go with Webby's guess.
Are you both going ballet?
Well,
teacher?
Now I don't understand the game.
So one of the characters is like
no,
on
I got
display.
That far, but okay. I can't remember anyone different.
Yeah.
Maybe their boss at the DMV.
Oh yeah,
no.
No, yeah, fair. She was a one-off as well.
Compared to the ballet teacher.
She never pops up again. Says Homer is worse than Hitler, smoking 2 cigarettes.
Oh, yeah.
Unless it's maybe like, I don't think they do Bart in the ballet costume for no reason.
If this was like season 35, they might have done that.
Yeah.
Because they're running out of characters. But no, I'll let you know. It is the ballet teacher.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Who doesn't have a name, but... Do you know who voices her?
No.
I think you'd know who this person is, Webby. I think, Claire, you would definitely know.
Definitely.
Big Hollywood actor.
Russian?
Not French? Russian. Putting on an accent.
Bunging it on.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
it's
can you give a clue?
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I haven't seen it.
Just trying to think of anything else she's been in.
So how would I know it?
You'd know the name. It's she's one of those actors I feel like you can't really pick a film that she's done, but you definitely know her as a big Hollywood actress. And there's probably people listening to this being like, Murphy, you're a fucking idiot. She's done like 20 huge films. But I just can't think right now.
Just give me the name.
Famous to me. Okay. No, I want another clue.
Oh, you want
to
guess?
Okay. Hang on. Let me open up Letterboxd on my, which
and
people listening can follow me on.
I don't really watch movies, Murphy. So this will be
yes,
fun.
But you've probably heard
of, and worse, I've probably heard of some of them. I only know the characters' names. I never learn what the actors'
well,
names.
That's...
So I only know them by the actors' names. I never learn the characters' names.
All right. So she's
been between us, there's enough knowledge, but no way to connect it in any way.
Yes. Born in 1946. Oh, Thelma and Louise.
Oh, Louise. Susan Sarandon.
Susan Sarandon, yes.
I saw her in a picture this morning. Oh. Anyway, go. Yeah, great. Go. Nailed it.
Yes, Susan Sarandon. Mm. You know her?
I thought it was Sarandon, but there we are.
Oh, could be my pronunciation.
Sarandon. I think
let's
it's
call let's the whole go. Thing.
I mean, she can tell us when she's ready.
Yeah. Listen to the audiobook of her memoir and she reveals it.
With this bit on the screen as well, like I was going to point out, it's like...
Oh, yeah, by the for again. Listeners, we've got the episode playing in the back. Crowned.
But like,
so Mel Brooks has written himself into the show. Mel Brooks being one of the writers of The Simpsons, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
I know this from the...
opening
the
bit, credits.
Yeah, the opening credits.
Wait, are you doing a bit or you...
No, that's the only reason I know who Mel Brooks is. Wait, is Mel Brooks not one of the writers?
You're thinking of James L. Brooks.
Well, that's... I'm not doing it.
Yeah, the worst
bit.
Thing is I 100% was sitting here going, yeah.
Oh, see, I thought...
I just assumed you'd read it, but I always just blank it out because I'm like,
Mel
I'm not
Brooks
reading
in,
if I need to.
Oh, jeez.
Mel Brooks in my mind.
okay. I feel like the people that were yelling at me for not knowing Sarandon films are now yelling at the two of you.
Why? It's an honest mistake.
James L. Brooks is a big... He was very instrumental in a lot of sitcoms in the... 80s.
Is this the writer of The Simpsons?
He's the Simpsons guy, yes.
Uh-huh.
So
who's Mel Brooks?
That dude.
Yeah, but is he the one? Is he?
Okay, let me explain it.
I'm thinking of Mel Gibson now.
Fucking
hell. I can't.
All right, that's too far for me. I at least looked at that dude and went, okay, I'm pretty sure.
Could be the same.
James L. Brooks is not an actor or anything. He was a writer and a producer. Made a lot. At least let me finish. And he also directed, produced a lot of. Big comedy movies, and he helped create The Simpsons.
To be fair, though, if I was him, I would happily write myself into an episode.
Okay.
And do improv with Homer, which is what happens in this.
So Mel Brooks is a comedy legend. He did a bunch of comedy films throughout the 60s, 70s, 80s, including Blazing Saddles.
I couldn't even name them, and I still know that there are movies that are Mel Brooks movies.
See, I don't. I can
They're
think
like
of...
They're like the Woody Allen movies or whatever.
Producers is probably one of his biggest.
I can think of the writer of The Simpsons, Mel Brooks, and Mel Gibson from The Passion of the Christ.
Anyway.
I think it's the best we're going to do.
So Mel Brooks...
She's merged two and added one from somewhere else. I think that's...
Well, it's the name Mel for a man that's got me connecting those
it's
ones.
It's short for Malcolm.
Yeah, and that's fine. What a beautiful name. Malcolm.
But again, like, it's one I've mentioned on the other episode. It's like, it's great for the cameos to just be that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a little moment. It's not the whole episode dedicated to fucking somebody.
Yeah, totally. Which, ironically, when Mel Gibson was on the show, the episode was all about him. Yeah. But no, Mel Brooks actually, it's funny you say he wrote himself onto the show, Claire, because he is married to an actress called, I've completely forgotten her name.
Man, that'd be a great time to have remembered it.
But she voiced the psychiatrist on The Simpsons when Marge has a fear of flying.
Interesting that you say that that's interesting because I don't know how that means he wrote himself into the show. Okay, I'm back.
He didn't write himself on, but he... was in the studio when she was recording her lines and all the writers were like, oh, it's Mel Brooks. And they were like, oh, Mel, would you want to do the show sometime? He's like, yeah, sure, I'd love to. And they're like, oh. And so they wrote this part for him where Homer's a chauffeur because they found out that
he's down for
it. Yeah,
that's great.
So the bit that he's doing, so I really like a lot of Mel Brooks's stuff, but I never really knew what this 2000 year old man thing is. And
the other one said $2,000 man.
Yeah, so that's part of the gag is Wiggum and Homer both get it wrong. Homer calls it $2,000 man, I think.
No, that was the
Wiggum
police.
Calls it $2,000 man and Homer is 2,000 pound man, I think he calls it.
No, because they go back in time.
Yeah, because they start doing the bit and he starts singing the song about Cave 76.
Yeah, yeah. They've gone.
So
back
Homer's
in time.
Definitely got 2,000.
Yeah, the
old,
actual man. Thing is 2,000 year. Oh man, I think Homer just got the name wrong. He knows what it is, but he's said it wrong. So what that is? It's a famous sketch between Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner, who's another comedian from the same era as Mel Brooks, and they basically Carl Reiner plays an interviewer, and he says, "We're here with a man who's been alive for 2,000 years," and they just riff, basically. And Mel Brooks just improvises answers and stuff.
I knew they were doing improv in the back there.
Yeah, you picked up on that. Well done.
Hair on the back of my neck.
Well, I watched a clip today before the record I prepared of them doing it live. And, you know, there's some bits which are like, it's... You know, this was probably funny 60 years ago, but there was one bit that made me laugh because, like, you must know the origin of a lot of words. So, what about cheese? Where's cheese come from? He's like, well, you know, and he really hypes it up and does like quite a Jewish voice. He's like, well, you know, which I'm not doing justice here, but he's like, someone came to a farm and he was like, hey, can I borrow some milk? And he was like, yeah, there's a big barrel of milk. Go help yourself to the milk. And he goes over to the barrel, but it's soured overnight. And he goes, cheese! And see, that's where cheese comes from.
When did you start
from.
Working as a butcher?
I don't get it. Is that
did
a butcher
you butcher that
voice?
Fucking joke?
Brutal. Okay, very but good. If we go back to the plot of the actual show.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
I've got a proposal of what could have solved this a lot earlier. So what happens is Homer loses all the money on Red and pumpkins. But he doesn't tell Marge, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Do you know what he would have helped this? Communication. He goes behind her back to her sisters and they don't like him and he doesn't like them. But do you know what he could have done? Confessed. Or Breaking Bad at it.
Because
that's another show where just communication would have solved it. You know
100%,
what I mean?
Yeah. Because
that's the thing. Even if you want to go a bit skivy with it, he borrows the money and they think, oh, we've got one over on him. Then
which they did.
Yeah, but then you cut in and then you tell Marge, so you've still got the loan.
Well, then
because if they didn't think
Marge.
They could have their fun, I don't think they would have given him the loan, you know?
Hell yeah, no. They just exactly. wanted to torture
so then you
him.
Just undercut that.
Yeah,
with,
yeah.
Like, you delay the communication.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Bart subplot. It's one of those interesting B plots that has nothing to do with the A plot. You know, sometimes the B plot might have nothing to do with the A plot, but then at the end they kind of merge and then sometimes they kind of allude to each
other. I have a
theory. Yes?
They are fully related and it's that gender roles trap us all. Because Homer doesn't tell Marge because he wants to be a provider. That is exactly what he sees and says. And, you know, she's bragging to her sister. Not bragging. Explaining to her sisters while she's still with him. It's because he looks after us.
He hears that.
Oh, absolutely. And then Bart doesn't want to dance. It's for girls. Finds out he freaking loves it.
I believe that they went heavy on sissies was the term. Like,
absolutely
no, no, no.
Didn't.
You don't use sissies unless you're searching it on Pornhub.
Yeah, I wonder if this...
It has a more specific meaning these days is what I'm saying.
But, like, that's it. It's connected. It's that gender roles are bullshit.
Yeah.
Thanks, 90s. I wish this was nice and clear then, too. But, like, that's what it is. That's the connection, I reckon.
Yeah, it's just too relatable, though. Because, like, I'm there and I'm like, yeah, Bart's fear is real.
Of course
like,
it is.
I can't like things now properly. Like, I feel like I love that. It's awesome. I'm like, and who's going to fucking have a go at me for that? Like,
it's
I'm just
prison.
Completely on edge.
It is a prison and it really, yeah. Because, you know, Bart comes out on stage wearing a mask. No one knows that it's Bart, apparently, but they all know that it's a boy dancing ballet.
Yeah, because it's
and everyone's
like,
loving it.
Lisa literally goes like,
I know, she's ready
who is that spiky hair
yeah,
dancer?
Yeah.
I'm like, what balaclava can you wear that shows your hair design underneath it without knowing that it's my brother, the guy with the spiked head?
I just realized I got the book open not just to do our little game, but also confirm when this came out. 26 of February,
1995.
1995, yes. Quite a while ago. Yeah.
I love the real subtle joke in there of the fourth wall breaking of the TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like
great.
So many episodes they have are just that, where like an ad will just start playing on the TV and then immediately go silent while they can have a conversation.
Yeah.
And it's just so weird that like they notice it. And it's
yeah.
Like that's a good little spot.
Really good. I remember, I think that was one as a kid I didn't fully get. It's like,
yeah, you just go, ooh. I was just like, ooh, spooky for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was spooky too, but when you frame it like that, it makes sense. Acknowledging that.
There is a section in this book called The Stuff You May Have Missed, where we well, Webby knows that sometimes they're pretty obvious stuff. But hey, you never know. Let's see what's here.
I mean, I was busy patting the dog a lot of the time. My mind
nah, this is like, you hear that it's the saddest fucking attempt at a bit of a book I've ever fucking seen. Like things you may have missed, and it's like they wear a blue pants.
Well, this one,
but I might have missed that. Like I've
nah,
I forget
like,
what
give us an example.
Are.
What's it going to be?
A sign for Bart's recital reads "Ballet performance." The T is silent.
I read that.
Yeah, there you
okay,
go.
I did see that one.
Yeah,
I'm Cluey. I've got it. Attention
like,
to
did
detail.
Did you realize
who?
There was this written down joke?
Some of them are just really weird. So there might actually be something you missed, but it's just so like. Okay.
And does it matter?
Yeah, Patty and Selma still have their souvenir pyramid lamp from Egypt, first seen in episode 7 of 15, Principal Charming.
Cool.
All right.
I think if I had a lamp that was shaped like a pyramid, that was a memory from a trip I took, I'd still have it too. On display. Yeah.
I think the fun fact is meant to be like, and the animators could be fucked drawing.
Yeah.
Like, cool.
This
man
one,
did his job.
This is bang on the money what we were talking about. Headline in the novelty newspaper. Extra, extra, Bart named world's greatest sex machine. That's literally the punchline.
They say it out loud.
It's not even just written down. He reads it the fuck out.
Yeah.
Which, do you reckon that was cut from Channel 10? Because I had completely forgotten about that gag. But I laughed out loud.
Also, they said the word sex earlier in the show. I wrote it down. They said the word sex on TV.
In 1995.
Well, they got away with that, but I swear they cut off the bit at the start where they're all smoking cigars.
Oh.
Like, that's real short. And it's just Homer investing in pumpkins and the thing like behind him.
Interesting.
I was going to point that out as well. The older episodes, there's way more smoking.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a question I had written down. Do Patty and Selma still smoke in the new episodes?
Great question. There is actually an episode. Oh, someone's smoking now. There's the fire brigade on the way.
No, I'm about to be arrested. Can we? you might want to wrap it pretty quick.
So they do still smoke, but there's an episode. And this is actually probably like 10 years ago now, but there's a new episode where Patty and Selma find out that their dad died from lung cancer, right? Mm-hmm. The mum just casually says it. They're watching like a slideshow and they're like, and Marge's like, I miss dad. And then Lisa's like, how did Grandpa Bouvier die? And Marge's like, you know what? I don't know. And then Grandma Bouvier's. You're loving this, Claire.
Hang on, are you saying Bouvier?
Bouvier?
Yeah.
That's it, right?
Yeah, but you said Bouvier, I think at least twice.
Well, you mentioned Pornhub before I got a bit.
I know it exists.
Yeah, Grandma Bouvier says, he died from smoking. And Patty and some like, Mom, why didn't you tell us? And then she said, like, yeah, we smoke all the time. Why didn't you tell us? And she went, I thought it made you look cool. Anyway.
All right, that's all right. Yeah, that's good.
So.
Sort of.
Patty and Selma.
I thought it was just going to be a, I did.
Doesn't really
over and
to
over
stop
again.
Smoking.
So Patty and Selma, the plot is then they try and quit.
They start vaping, don't they?
Then,
how old was this episode?
No, I think this was before the vaping craze. This was like 10, 15 years ago. And
the hookah pipes then.
Patty and Selma discovered that their apartment smells without cigarette smoke because they own an iguana and the Jub Jub. And I don't know if you knew this, Claire, but Selma has a baby now.
What?
Like, yes.
She adopted a baby from China. They are in their early 40s.
Okay. Hang on a second. Hang on. Did you say that they notice that the apartment smells?
Yeah, when they're not smoking anymore.
Yeah, is that what you said?
Patty and Selma.
Yeah.
Yes. But oh.
Selma has no sense of smell.
Oh, shit, Webby. Yes.
Somebody forgetting their history.
Yeah,
these writers.
Well, then why does she even smoke?
The whole thing of nicotine. The Sideshow Bob episode is that she can't smell and that's how he tries to kill her.
I remember that vaguely.
Yeah.
But anyway, they the baby smells because of her pooey nappies, I guess, and the iguana smells. So they decide to smoke again so that they can mask that smell. And then it shows them dead at like 50 or something. It's really morbid. So yeah, it's pretty messed up.
Is the baby dead next to them? Because you're like, the only way you're covering up that smell of the baby is if you are smoking while changing the baby.
Does that mean they're not in the show anymore? Or is that just it was like a flash forward.
Yeah, yeah. But no, they are still, as far as I'm aware, since that episode, they're still smoking regularly, which is, pretty messed up that she has a baby, an infant child now, and she's still smoking.
They don't make them look very cool in the episode. No. So it's not
It's always, these are meant to be the gross sisters-in-law.
Totally.
And they're always puffing away.
And I feel like they do that with a lot of the characters that smoke. Like Krusty is always seen smoking.
I don't know, because that scene at the beginning of this episode with all the cigars and Homer sets his $1 bill on fire.
You know what? That is true. I did actually think Carl in particular looked pretty snazzy, late sitting back on the bar smoking his cigar.
Not to glorify smoking,
it makes too much sense.
What's that?
Like Mo makes too much sense.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Barney looks like he's about to eat it. Like pretty well animated.
Yeah. Some other moments from this episode. There's one that I think is a real classic gag. You see it memed a fair bit, I think, is where Homer has the dream about the invention that'll make him a millionaire, but he can't see it in the dream. I forgot that this was this episode.
He's so passive about getting it is always the thing with me. I'm like, dude, grab the hand.
Yeah.
You're in a dream. Just do it.
I really like the sequence where Homer is trying to get his license and he's in the car with Penn and Selma and they just keep taking points off and then he's like, being a jerk, minus a million points. Mm-hmm. I thought that was funny.
It was only 10
when you
points.
Were eight, I hope.
It was only 10 points, by the way.
No, by the end of it, he's like,
oh, I must have lost.
Too busy with the dog.
Yeah, the dog must have distracted me.
I do
love as well, the whole thing is like, they're literally, like, she's bragging to Marge. She's, like, getting a glimpse of success. It's like, you got promoted at the DA.
Oh, yeah. But then they almost lose it.
Yeah.
Homer saves the day.
Hang on. I just want to say, with, like, the boss nearly firing him at the end, it's like, okay, you nearly fired two employees for smoking in a government building. You walked up to a customer, called them Hitler, and slapped them in the face. Yeah.
That did happen.
It's like, do the rules just? I know the rules change different tiers of management. Fuck me! Like you're on the floor still.
I really, speaking of like lines that you say all the time, I don't say this all the time, but I often think it when Homer says, "I am in flavor country."
Mm-hmm.
I think I often think
that's a real ad, though, right?
Yeah. So apparently, it's from Marlboro cigarettes, but the slogan wasn't actually "Flavor Country." It was like "Welcome to."
Flavor Country.
Marlboro Country.
Oh.
Yeah, they didn't actually say welcome to Flavor Country. It might have been something like, you want flavor? Welcome to Marlboro Country. But it wasn't
the word flavor was in it in the long version.
Yeah, yeah.
So someone didn't do their job very well, is what it sounds like. Because there's a better slogan, clearly.
What else we got here? A rare appearance by Bart's friends Lewis and Richard in this episode.
Where were they?
When they're all
definitely
signing
drawn
up.
A lot better these days. I seem to remember them looking pretty less detailed.
Yeah, well, they mainly appeared in the first season.
Yeah.
Lewis and Richard. I think the original days it was going to be like they'd have equal appearances as Milhouse. Like they, it was going to be Bart's best friends, Milhouse, Richard, Lewis.
Mm.
And then they kind of, I think, just figured out, oh, we just need
Milhouse.
What's the deal?
Because Milhouse is like a loser.
Yeah.
Who are they not losers?
They never even got a real...
They were just kind of two nothing. Like, you don't need them for anything.
They were just in the background. They're just like, cool, Bart. Like,
yeah.
So I guess they needed a couple characters to say the lines.
Unless you wanted to make them like Lenny and Carl's kids.
Yeah.
That'd make sense. Then they'd get a bit more time.
Yeah. But what were their lines? They were like, but it was purely to set up the joke of what is it? TS.
It'll be TS for them.
Yeah. And then it cuts to tethered swimming with Ralph.
And of course it's Ralph. Like, sign-ups haven't even finished yet. Why is he already doing it? I do love when they're walking there and just Bart's line of the bees are buzzing, birds are trying to have sex with them. Because I just never understood how that story would work. Like, by the time I'd heard the phrase, oh, you know, the birds and the bees, I understood what they were referencing. But I'm like... how the fuck are you explaining sex with birds and bees? They're different. One of them eats the other. Like, that's spiders. Yeah. Like, I never understood what the actual story was.
Yeah, I don't think I know either.
It's also, when you think about it, they have sex very differently to mammals because neither of them are mammals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One lays eggs.
That's even worse.
The other like, praises a queen who...
Like, even if you're thinking about them not having sex with the bird with the bee, it's the bird with the bird and the bee with the bee. Mm. It's still not helpful. That
None of them are in
us.
Doggy style. Like,
nope.
I'm sure
they're like, and I don't
they
need
all
to
lay
dance.
Eggs, by the way, yeah. Which is not what happens with humans, much to my horror.
It's probably a simple explanation as to the
they're
origin
sitting at
of
home
that.
Home dreaming of that cloaca she never had.
But yeah,
I do like the idea though of like I have to learn dances in order to have sex at all.
Yep,
it's just coming in, like, flooding so around like some weird mannequin bird. I have to wear
or
heaps of color.
You have to build a really cool nest full
Ooh,
of blue stuff.
I think I'd have to go that way because like
provider,
I'm not cabaret enough. Like I can't.
But you have all the time in the world to practice because you don't have a job because you're a bird. It's kind of the dream.
You know, now you've nearly sold me on it. I'm back on the fence. Like a bird. But also, just as a kid, I just sort of accepted it as a weird thing on The Simpsons, but like PE sign-up day?
Yeah.
It's like, we just had
we
PE
had
class.
Sign up for
oh, actually, you
sports,
know what? No,
actually?
Yeah. We did have a similar thing
that
in
was
high
in
school.
High school. Yeah, high
yeah.
School, yeah.
I no. remember being annoyed because I missed out on table tennis. I wanted to be at the table tennis
I always pick
team.
Yoga.
Dude, that's just something you go and stand next to until someone else walks up to it.
No,
you don't,
there was
like
there was a the table tennis tournament thing and you went to different schools
table
and stuff.
Table tennis tournament's fun to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are table tennis and ping pong the same thing?
Yep. I believe so.
In my
one
mind.
Of them's just racist. I'm going to leave you guys to guess which one.
Because it's like snooker and pool are different.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like AFL and NRL.
Yeah.
But it's hard to
and
know.
And basketball and baseball.
About how they're different. And netball and basketball?
Yeah.
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah, but football and football and football are all different.
Mm. Well.
Yeah.
So you say that, but I can't picture it.
What was your go-to sport at high school, Claire?
Yoga.
Yo? Really?
Yep.
The library.
You legit.
Basically, it was yeah. the library of sports.
You could do that though. You could sign up for yoga.
Yeah, we had a yoga teacher come in.
Oh wow!
Pay her $2.50 each.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, that's a good price on yoga.
It, I know. Well, we were children.
Still.
I mean, I think there was. I mean, there was probably like 10, 15 people in the class. It was okay for her too.
Yeah.
Just turn up for an hour, and then there was the nice meditation at the end. It was great.
Yeah, sick.
And then sometimes. At least once I picked badminton. No. What's the other? You hit it
fine.
Against the wall? Squash.
Squash.
I don't understand sports. Yeah.
Far
really.
More terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I ever played it. I think I sat and watched it run off.
And then just
it.
Heard that ball pinging off the walls a few times and went, no.
Yeah.
Tell you who's really good at yoga. Squash. Regular guest, Timothy Clark. Quite interesting.
Yeah, he looks spindly enough to be good at squash.
Yeah. One day, because he was like, you guys want to play squash? I was like, oh, yeah, because there was a squash court near his house. Like, yeah, why the hell? It's something bit of novelty. Like,
he turns up, he's got the goggles, the knee pads.
It wasn't quite that, but legit, he just smashed us. And we're like, what the fuck? I thought this was like a one-off. Like,
The man that never shuts up, full of fucking these little quips constantly. I'm just picturing him walking in there and he's just stone-faced.
You don't have
Not
to.
Not if you're cool.
Is it across the road?
From where you live?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't
Timothy
far.
Timothy Clark, famously my neighbour.
It wasn't far. Yeah, it was in Brunswick East.
Okay, so no.
Tim used
right.
to live near squash courts.
Well, Tim no longer lives near that squash court.
If you got a time machine and you
Tim was previously near some squash courts.
Any final thoughts on this episode? I just thought of another classic moment where he's like, well, just take numbers off my house. We'll look for the house with no numbers. I really like the voice on that bank guy as well. He's great.
And just the follow-up line, we'll look to the house with the next to the house with no numbers. And then Homer goes, that's it. He's got nothing else.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a question at the beginning that Murphy said save that for the podcast.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. I was looking at the 3-4 ratio of the television. Is that what ratio the old TVs were in?
Yeah.
And I was like, is the new Simpsons in normal
Yeah, they
TV
went to widescreen a while ago now. It was probably 20 years ago.
Actually, was it the movie?
That
because I felt like I remember seeing it in the other, and then it expands outwards.
Yes, like so that IMAX that does. Was the first time The Simpsons had ever been a widescreen was the movie, because yeah, there is that thing where it goes The Simpsons and then it goes wide,
yep.
And it's everyone's like, whoa!
The Simpsons but, movie, huh?
Yeah, if you actually want to hear me talk about The Simpsons movie, listen to Rob. Claire's shaking her head. Rob Caruana and Lucy Caruana. Not only
I could have added
got me
that.
A book.
No, she does.
It's pretty bad film. Pretty.
What happens?
They put
don't
a big
worry,
dough.
Yeah. I want to get
listen
started.
To the podcast.
Too many inside references. Like, okay, I've got to explain like these
I've got
13
a,
characters.
I've got a couple of other small notes.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I wrote "America is terrible." Mm-hmm. With regards to Homer being pre-declined for all the credit cards from being bad. Oh, but yep. There was something else.
My note there was like, aren't they always broke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like on the edge? Or you at least back here they were. These days he's got one job, she still doesn't have to work, and then three kids and they own the house. Like he's doing so well.
It is interesting though because not long ago we did the episode Maggie Makes Three where it flashes back to a year or two where Marge gets pregnant with Maggie, and the premise of that is Homer pays off all his debt. So he gets like his dream job at the bowling alley, and Marge and Homer go to celebrate, and that's when Marge gets pregnant, and then he's like, oh no.
And has to go back to working at the nuclear
plant. But now they have like they're overdue on their mortgage and stuff. So like they were like up until a year or so ago before Maggie was born, they were. Well, yeah.
And fair enough, that's what's going to happen.
Like, she's not even lived long enough to get them broke yet.
Like. Yeah, that's what I
think.
But
you don't know if they had hospital bills. America is terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
It costs a lot of money to have a baby.
You know, no, Marge seems to be like, she holds up pretty well after every birth scene. Like she's just here there holding the kid, just like, and then like, it's usually about how Homer interacts with the baby. So it's like, she's just pretty good.
Yeah.
She's up, she's awake.
The one I wrote down
her scrubs aren't all just fucked because she's writhing around for 40 hours.
They probably edit that part out of the documentary. That
imagine
is
that,
Simpsons.
Like they just show a 1 second scene of Marge just, just like fucking like.
Oh man, if be, like so,
like,
it's
the, like Homer just sees like the surgery doors swing for a moment, like like a bar's at a saloon, and he just catches a glimpse of that.
Honestly, there are so many sitcoms where the birth of a child looks like the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah, like
they've just
sighed,
edited it out so that people still have babies. It's propaganda from the big baby industry. They don't want you to know how bad it
we're
is.
We're meant to die out. Stop it.
Yeah, exactly. Put it back in and people will stop. There was one bit where they're all having dinner. Homer's feeling pretty happy with himself.
Yes.
And he's meat and three veg now that he's solved his debt problems. That's what they're having, meat and three veg. And he says, get the camera out to take a photo of this meal. Mm-hmm. What is he, an Instagram influencer?
Well, yeah, that episode in 95, I think the joke would have hit harder than because him saying, someone take a photo of me with a steak, someone would have actually had to go get the camera,
he
put
says,
the film
the
in.
You got to check film.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you'll get it developed like a few weeks later.
And you get to go remember that steak I had.
Yeah.
But it's always a weird thing that I always see in these shows where, I don't know if it's an American thing, but like whenever they're doing the pork chop scenes or any scene where they're eating like slabs of meat, there's always an extra plate in the middle with just more steaks on it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, usually you get one per person, like, you know, like you're at a restaurant or
all
something.
Homer
Why
loves.
Why don't you just have bonus steaks?
It's for Homer. He loves his food. Marge knows he wants seconds.
Look,
and
maybe
thirds,
I was just too poor to have bonus steaks, but I just always, like, that felt weird.
It is weird because even if you cooked more as leftovers, you think you wouldn't put them in the middle of the table. So
yeah, they're in the
like
fridge or something.
Yeah, coming to room temperature.
Before it's too... Before
and also,
it's
a steak doesn't cook, like take that long to cook. Leave them in the fridge as a steak.
But maybe you want it for lunch tomorrow.
Yeah, it's coming up on the
But you wouldn't put it in the middle of the table if you want it for lunch tomorrow. I'm with you, Webby.
Well, it's convenient that Patty and Summer
straight
dropped
the Tupperware
in.
To be let cool down.
Well, maybe that's why they always have a bit extra on their table in case they have guests. Maybe they're better
hosts. Well, they seem to never lock the front door.
Yeah,
they do
have
a pretty open door policy of people just walking in.
Oh, hey, Image.
Yeah. Hello. Like, I love that Homer just has two little psycho moments in this episode. Like, there's a scene where, like, Patty and Selma are hanging out the first time, and he's just got a smile, and he's just looking at the middle distance as Marge is in the room.
That is great.
Just desperately trying not to explode. And then at the end, where it, like, I'd kill for you. Please ask me to kill you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, damn, that's relatable. just a justification.
Yeah, given that this episode is not that surreal, like, it's pretty grounded, really, especially given this is the season where you had episodes like the Stonecutters and
I wrote something that wasn't realistic.
Yeah.
When he gets pulled over for being a chauffeur without a chauffeur's license, yeah, and he doesn't get a fine. Not realistic.
Well, it's Wiggum. He doesn't really,
Plus,
he was distracted by Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
Fine. But also, didn't the ad say you don't need any experience? So it's like the company.
But you might need a license.
The dance jump into the over the cliff.
Yeah, so brutal.
Fuck, that looks funny. It's just like just the animation, just the way they have him hanging in the air for 1 second, and then just holding the pose as he just drops quickly out of his face.
Now, I was looking at the dog for this one because I don't remember that happening.
I just love how
and the music just does a little
yeah. And Nelson pokes him with a stick. Like,
and the way he's like on the ground doesn't look at all like he would have landed that way. Like, but it's a very good little piece of animation.
Yeah.
Like very Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Like sort of timing and style that they've done there.
Yeah. No, I think given that they, you know, it is, a lot of the scenes are in the living room or at the school or whatever, like the director did quite a good job with this. Like there's a lot of good little nuances and stuff with this episode.
In terms of the way it was shot here, like the projection of the IOU to the roof.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it doesn't just land on the ground and Marge picks it up.
Oh, to me, that's totally not realistic either.
Oh, not at all. It's ridiculous.
Like, you wouldn't have been able to see through the paper.
Yeah, unless it was the other way, in which case it'd be backwards.
So maybe that's why Marge says, is this projection accurate? Because she knows how ridiculous it is.
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
You say this show is realistic. No, it's not.
Okay. I take it back.
It's more realistic.
This is
than
the goofiest episode out there.
And something else I noticed that wasn't very realistic. They only have 4 digits on their hands.
Yeah. So out of 10, what do we reckon?
Hang on, a couple of little things.
Oh, yeah,
I love the joke of buckle your borscht belt. Homer yells that out to Mel Brooks in the backseat when he tries to take off in the limo.
Oh,
what did
you
call it?
A Borscht belt.
No, the Borscht belt.
Borscht
belt.
It's
the like, place where all the Jewish comedians along the...
I thought he said
buckle your Borscht belt.
Okay.
That's the joke.
I heard
it's
him
Mel
say...
Brooks.
I miss...
In my mind, he said the word, the name, the brand of the car.
The Borscht belt, or okay. Yiddish Alps, is a colloquial term for the mostly defunct summer resorts of the Catskill Mountains.
Catskills. That's it's like a place where a lot of Jewish comedians started out. Like Mort Sol and like guys like that.
Yeah, there you go. Ah, quite a good reference for Homer to make.
Yeah. And just like it even as a kid, you're just like he's telling him to like hang on and tries to take off. Like you don't need to know the reference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just another
one
of those like that I'm an adult, I actually caught it that time.
Yeah, I missed that one.
Like literally that time.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Comedic legacy. I'm on the Wikipedia entry, if that wasn't clear.
Mm-hmm.
The tradition of Borscht Belt entertainment started in the early 20th century with the indoor and outdoor theaters constructed on a 40-acre tract in Hunter, New York. A cradle of American Jewish comedy since the 20s. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, if you want to look that up yourself, listening at home.
Or you just already got the reference when I pointed it out.
But yeah, there you go. There you go.
Wiggum handing over the photo of Patty and Selma. Like, why does
that
he have that photo? Why does he know exactly what
and
they...
And why are they the only ones who can help you get a license?
I guess that was their
black and white photo, like from a distance.
Is it meant to be that was their promotion, like specializing in chauffeur licenses?
Definitely not.
Like, but still, why would the police chief just have that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's their business card. Their business card's just their faces. They're like,
yeah, black
our faces
and white
do
printed
the work
out, nothing on the back.
Don't need anything.
I guess you need it for the joke of Homer just going, like seeing them and screaming,
But even like, and then the whole scene of them like not giving him the license, right?
Yeah, great.
That baffles me because I'm like, he's trying to repay a debt to you.
They don't care.
Yeah, true.
I know they don't care, but part of me just goes...
They want to torture him.
But they can still torture him by, like, you have to have a job as a limo driver.
Yeah,
then they make him drive them around in the limo.
But see, they also already have a job. I don't think they know that having a job is a second job is a punishment. It's not clear, or that you're right. They should have let him have a second job.
Maybe they found out that he was quite enjoying the job. Maybe he was like,
He got to meet Mel Brooks. Day one.
Yeah. They're like, we don't want him interacting with anyone else. And having fun.
Or being able to acquire a skill or license to do something that.
We don't want him to have economic freedom. We want to make sure our sister leaves him one day.
Yeah, yeah. I think you nailed it.
And then one last note that just says, still above zero. And I have no idea what the fuck that means. So. Oh, yeah. Patty and Selma there. They're like, you know, he calls off the debt and they run off. But it's like, he kept them their jobs, right?
Yeah.
The reason they were able to, like, give him money is because of that promotion, right?
Oh, so, they didn't cancel the contract on their end. He still owes some money.
But even then, even if they did cancel it, it's like he kept them the jobs with that action. So the amount of money that they are going to make by still having that job easily outweighs the first, like, actual
he
debt.
He still should be paying them back. He still borrowed a lump sum.
I borrow $1,000 off you.
Yeah.
Right? Wait. But you've just had a new promotion that gives you an extra $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
If I keep you that job...
Yes.
You continue to make $1,000 a month.
Yeah, okay, extra. I see what you mean. Yes.
That doesn't mean the debt. It's a separate part of the equation.
You don't think one cancels the other out?
No.
So if I mean,
this is quite a ridiculous scenario where they're getting fired for smoking inside. They're
quite cartoonish. No.
Cartoonish is a good word for it. I mean, you've done a good deed, but...
Yeah,
it'd
personally...
It'd still have to be negotiated.
It can't
just be announced and then ran out of the room.
Without them responding. Yeah,
like, also, that doesn't look particularly legally binding the way that he bailed on that.
And also, potentially, they could get another job paying them that much again after losing their original job.
That is potentially true.
I think a bit of a dog act Homer saying call off the debt. That's just me. Homer doesn't usually do anything that's questionable, but
no,
I thought that was a bit like...
He's known for being normal, a normal man.
Yeah. Mm. That's why this is one of the goofiest episodes. He's like crazy in this.
That's wild.
I get a different writer to this episode.
Like my opening bid easily would be call off the debt. Like I wouldn't be doing it like that, but that's where I'm starting negotiations, if I'm honest.
Yeah, fair.
I mean, yeah, each no, to totally own. Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, so not the most classicist of episodes, but we enjoyed it. We had a few laughs. What do you reckon out of 10, though? We'll start with Webby.
Honestly, because of the moments in it and how often those ones have just been particularly hammered.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when you've got an album where you like three songs on it, you fucking love those three songs.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, yeah, completely forgot about the bits connecting it even though they were good. So I'd probably say about 8.
Yeah, nice. Cool.
Does the moments add up enough that I'm like, yeah, I didn't do that enough.
Yeah. Claire?
I was also going to say 8, but for a different reason. Which is that's how many fingers they have. And to back that
whatever works
rating up, because that's a pretty high rating.
Yeah.
They vary subtly because you guys didn't pick it up and I didn't pick it up when I was however old watching this.
Swear to God, if you say that they're yellow, I'm going
to... No, I was going to show
they... I love because they've got 8 fingers and they're yellow. I'm like, oh, fucking hell.
They very, very, like,
she slow played that so well.
Very gently show you that gender roles are... They trap you and they make you make bad decisions. Homer, for example.
I was just, to reinforce that the system exists. It's like, you would get the shit kicked out of you for doing ballet in front of the boys. My mates would kick the shit out of you for that.
But it doesn't really give you a very clear lesson as to like what to do about it.
It's like what you do is you hurt yourself before they can hurt you.
Well, it's classic Simpsons. Like, it's perfect Simpsons because any other sitcom it would have been Bart gives that speech saying, yeah, it was me, but you know what? I'm proud. And they would have like clapped. But because it's the Simpsons, they go, he's a sissy.
Yeah, immediately turn on him.
Like, chase him with sticks. Like, they're going to really get it.
They reinforce the status quo so that Billy Elliot can never fly.
Yeah, and then even the bit where, like, he's in the ditch and Lisa's real proud of him and then just leaves him there.
What did you give it out of 10?
I think, like, this episode never comes to mind in terms of, like, but there's, fantastic like episodes, but...
Literally, when you said that, I first thought of the Sideshow Bob episode. I'm like, no, that's all right. And then like trying to remember which Patty and Selma related episode.
Yeah.
It's sort of the monorail one.
Like,
She's like, oh, I remember that.
Yeah, so plot-wise, it's kind of mundane. I mean, but
it's very mundane.
Bart's subplot, you know, is a bit of fun, but it doesn't interact at all with the A-plot, which is fine, but, you know, I always appreciate it when they
intertwine.
Yeah, his
parents don't even support the fact that he's, like, this ballet genius because he doesn't tell them.
Yeah.
He doesn't ask them for any advice. Like, no wonder he's struggling. He doesn't ask anyone for advice. He doesn't confide.
You would know he's doing it too. I have lived with a dancer. You know that they're fucking dancing. Because it's just the same song is playing over and over again, just with, like...
Maybe he didn't practice at home.
Yeah.
Maybe he practiced in the ballet studio.
Well, they appear to have a full studio at the school all of a sudden. Yeah.
That,
the full one-sided
our
mirrors.
Our school had a dance studio as
fucking
well.
Fucking hell.
But it was like a new school.
Yeah, they were very
still
consistent
with how
they
school. Our school had a
show.
Police presence. Like,
yeah, no. So did Springfield Elementary. So it is very consistent how they suddenly have like this Russian dance teacher. Well, and
they're
like
always complaining that, like, again, the school has no money and things are falling apart. But it's like full dance studio. From the looks of the spot, they just supply kids with full sets of hockey gear.
Yeah,
and
everything. Yeah.
That shit's expensive.
Maybe that's where all their money goes. Yeah, to that one day where they...
Well, I mean, sport is usually where people like to spend their money.
True.
Not academic.
These are American schools, so.
There you go. There's more of that satire.
You've got to get them into
priorities.
The training. Got to get them on there, see what they're good for.
In terms of, what I give it out of 10, watching it here, heaps of great jokes, pretty enjoyable episode. I'm going to go 7.75. Let's go
all
with
right,
that.
Mr.
Someone
Granular.
Who's lost, like, the top part of one of their fingers.
Yeah. Well, so that was what we thought of the episode. So what I like to do for the pod is go on a Simpsons website called The Simpsons Archive.
And it should have been the Simpsons.com.
No,
the
Simpsons Archive, and it has what they
is
call
it dot
episode
com or
capsules.
.org?
The Simpsons Archive.
.gov. Just wondering what
remember.
The dot is after it.
I don't remember. I think it's SimpsonsArchive.com.
Oh, you're not accessing it live.
I did just want to
actually,
point
no, it's SNNP.com, which stands for Nuclear.
Oh, my God. Okay,
Springfield
I'm lost.
Nuclear Power Plant. No, SNPP.
Dude, you could have just left it as it was.
It's not Archive at all.
Anyway.
Now we've lost Claire again.
There's,
like, you could have just kept the website as anything, right? Just keep moving.
Org. Yeah,
keep
Simpsons.
It moving.
Com. It's Simpsons.com.
New stimulus, new information. You've got to keep it rolling.
There's a collection of what people reviewed this episode, what people rated it back in 1995. And these are like the proper internet nerds. They're like the original
but
people.
Now they're like grandparents.
Yeah. So these are people that had the internet in 1995. So this is what they thought of the episode. This is Jonathan Wolf. May, that Whom is Broke / Bart ballet episode was horrible. The only funny line was Ralph Wiggum in Tethered Swimming saying this doesn't feel good. The rest of the episode was completely unbelievable. Homer would never go to Patty and Selma for money.
But he did.
But
so
also,
believe
Ralph Wiggum doesn't even say that. Like, the line is, because what was he saying?
He says, this doesn't feel good.
No, he says, I don't feel right.
Yeah, that's right. So, Jonathan Wolf,
maybe this guy was on his phone the whole time he was watching it.
Yeah. What, with the cord from the kitchen at fucking 1995?
No, he was playing, like, Snake on his Nokia.
I reckon 95 was even pre-Snake.
All right, well,
I'm
just having a guess.
I think that's still long cord from the kitchen days, right?
Yeah, he was playing Snake with the long cord.
Wait a second. What year did Scream come out? Because she has a cordless phone.
Oh.
Ooh.
Because she's walking around.
Because there was that
the
little bridge of like the cordless home phone.
Because that's what
Scream
I'm thinking.
Scream was 96, I think.
Yeah, I think it was 96, 97. So that's basically the same year,
yeah,
is what
yeah.
I'm saying. He might have had one from the kitchen.
Well,
he might have just been playing like Mary Had a Little Lamb with the.
Yeah, he's just making beats.
Yeah.
He's trying to do that thing where you have to make a custom ringtone using numbers.
You had to entertain yourself somehow if you didn't have a Nokia with Snake on it, right?
That we all wanted.
So then, yeah.
You could change the covers to be whatever you wanted.
The next review is from Mike Pichuero. He says, I'm an avid Simpsons fan, a virtuoso, if you will.
He's and in like my opinion,
yeah, you're just like this guy.
And in my opinion,
this fucking nightmare of a guy.
Steady on, here he is. And in my opinion, this episode sucked. Usually, I laugh uncontrollably at The Simpsons, but this episode got an occasional smile. It is my theory that whoever contributes to the weirdness of The Simpsons was
the
sick
weirdness.
The day they wrote that episode.
Hey, Murphy, why did you show me such a shit episode if you're trying to win me over to The Simpsons?
This one barely cracked a smile. Usually I'm just coming and fucking swimming in ecstasy as I watch my Simpsons.
So who the fuck? Next quote is by Eric Briel.
Why are we only listening to men's opinions?
Oh, that
on
was
this?
Well, it was
the only one just giving it those days.
Eric Briel. Who the hell are writing episodes like Ballet? That's how he what he calls this episode. And The Comet.
Mel Brooks.
And the one about Maggie. The jokes are lame at best and the characters are off key. Is this the same writing staff as in the past?
Off key?
I'm concerned about the future of this great show. Brian O'Sullivan, listen what he's given it. To quote as best I can, Opus the Penguin, this was bad. Bad beyond all measures of badness.
Is
just
Opus the
bad.
Penguin?
Who the fuck
is that
quotes
from,
a penguin
Billy
in a review?
No, I don't know what
is that
Opus
the, right
the Penguin
question?
Is.
Did I do
a I love that he doesn't even know the quote. He's having his best go at it.
Anyway, then he says...
and tells people that's what he's doing.
Didn't like it. Overall, D minus. So that's from Brian O'Sullivan. Mm. And finally, John J. Wood. I guess it's natural for a television series to start losing its course over 5 seasons, for there wasn't a fresh, original idea to be found. While Homer accidentally throwing out Marge was amusing, that was the only time I laughed throughout repeated viewings.
See, I didn't even think, why did you watch it again?
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't even think that gag was funny.
I mean,
it was kind of funny just because of how far he throws it out the door. Because that's... Nah. Fucking that, it hurt.
No, see, that's why I'm like, this is not real.
No. Unless they showed him like Marge landing on her sister and that's why she's okay.
Yeah.
But then they get up and like they haven't just been assaulted.
Yeah.
They entered the property with their sister's permission. You've now told them to leave. That doesn't mean you can heave them out into the fucking street. He's just assaulted two
He's women. Violent. He's a violent man.
Yeah, if anything, they actually treat him pretty well considering he assaulted them.
Yeah.
Well, they turn up and he puts both of them in a headlock.
Into
and jams
his armpits.
Jams their face into their armpits. It's like, I wouldn't mind if they just pulled a pen out of their bag and stabbed him at that point.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck?
What the fuck are you doing?
He earned the torment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've spun around.
Yeah, good.
Fuck him.
No, we've already read it. What do you got to plug, Claire?
Nothing.
Webby's podcast. Do you want to give
that
a plug?
Yeah, on Webby's podcast.
There you go.
Man, I'm barely plugging my own podcast. But as for this huge backdrop that I've got from... it may or may not have come from a Dan Murphy's, but
it's
whatever.
Very sick, sad world.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the backdrop because I am planning to do video stuff and chuck it up on YouTube.
Yeah, nice.
Essentially just recording the episodes, but apparently that's what you got to do these days.
A vidcast.
Yeah. I don't want to call it that.
No, don't. It's awful.
A vodcast. There you go.
Oh, yeah. That's video on demand.
Yeah,
I get it.
Vodka. That's what I'm going to call it.
Anyway, if you want to buy Webby's vodka, check it out at Dan Murphy's. I think that's...
I was
playing with dogs, so I didn't really... but
Broken Home Podcast. You'll be seeing it around because I'll post shit.
Nice. Check it out.
At Techie Webby. That'll do it.
Techie Webby on Instagram.
Yes, indeed.
Cool. And you can check out me on Instagram, Murphy McLaughlin. And you can also check out Murph's Tavern on Instagram. I think it's just Murph's Tavern.
Registered the handle.
You're the only person who'd know for sure.
There's a bar in Ireland called Murph's Tavern.
Yeah, we know.
And
I didn't. I mean, it checks out.
And they got the Twitter and the Facebook, but yeah.
Not
the Instagram.
Well,
so
there's going to be some confused
Murph's
people with this podcast.
Man, you
occasionally
make $600 for that fucking Instagram handle.
Sometimes people tag me, the podcast, instead of the bar. They'll be like, having the time of my life at Murph's Tavern. And I'll be like, oh, they've really enjoyed the episode. they're at the bar.
Although that's some sick, like, viral marketing there, like some underground shit.
Yeah.
Just becoming a hashtag that people would accidentally use.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, very
That's
good.
Amazing. That if I had a guy at Hot Girl Summer or, like, one of those fucking, like, just some phrase somebody's going to use.
But your podcasts are going to be in video soon.
Yep.
So
hopefully people like the look of me better than the sound of me. My new mustache is really going to divide the audience.
If you've got Pocket as a guest star, you're going to be popular.
Oh, yeah, she's definitely
popular.
Hovering around.
Yeah, yeah.
Pocket is the small dog who's distracted me the whole time.
Pocket's the whole fucking scam.
We love Pocket.
Everybody loves Pocket.
Tune in to Webby's podcast for Pocket. Pocket and Webby, but Pocket, oh my God.
No, I'm more
than
happy.
I'm talking about your Pocket.
Look at her little eyebrows. She's going to sell me. I'm going to get so many ads.
Well, yeah, check out that. Thank you for listening. Remember to rate and review the pod if you like it. Thank you very much, Claire.
Thank you, Murphy.
Thank you, Webby.
Thanks again.
And as we always say here on Murph's Tavern,
bye.
Do you know who that is, Claire?
Barney.